Hey you, it's me, Barney from Playtime. Remember, I promised I'd explain Playtime's awesome new diaper bags to you if you promised to go check them out. You haven't returned any of my calls, so this is my last resort. Playpacks are a multi-handle backpack diaper bag made from high-quality waterproof nylon by the folks at Playtime. Playpacks are able to fit up to 6 adult diapers, with room to spare, and with their wide, reinforced main compartment, they stay open on their own during changes. Plus, if you're an overpacker like me, the Playpack has you covered with oversized elastic and interior pockets, as well as insulated cup holders. And they're not just good for diapers. With their inner zippers and front net pockets, they're the perfect size for school, work, or outdoor activities. I'll never need another bag again. Choose from a bunch of different designs, from adorable dino and sailor patterns to more discreet baby blue or blackout designs. These functional diaper bags will have you feeling super cute, whilst making sure you're always prepared for a change wherever you are. Well, I've upheld my end of the bargain. Now go check out Playtime's Playpacks and see which one's for you. Please, don't let me down. Hi, my house may be on fire, but it's also uninsured. Welcome to The Big Top. Today, my guest is Muscle Bard, who you may have seen traipsing about the internet in nothing but a spandex singlet while he lifts weights with a very visible diaper. Needless to say, I was very eager to have him on the podcast to talk about bodybuilding, pamps pissing, and how we build self-confidence. If you get the opportunity, please rate and review. If you don't, I will know about it, and you may just receive a very strongly worded anonymous letter. Today, the circus is in Herndon, Virginia, and I invite you to join me as we go under The Big Top. Also, I'm really interested in where the bard thing comes from.
The bard? Oh, well, so I'm actually a professional musician, pianist, singer, music director, and I work with several choirs in the DC area. In fact, this week I'm working with 6 separate ensembles.
Damn! Okay. Yeah. I was like, oh, is that going to be like I was a bard in D&D?
No. I'm literally a bard.
Whoa, that's awesome. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, because all of my like 7 bloody kink names are all just, they all just boil down to something stupid. And so I was like, oh, where does this come from? Damn, that's cool. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you because I'm, you know, this whole thing is I'm very interested in like the sort of out there stories when it comes to like how we learn to accept ourselves and realizing that I wasn't as alone as I thought. I really want to hear how kink started for you and like how that merged with bodybuilding and then became like a huge part of your online presence and then everything that's come from that. Like, how did it all begin?
It definitely all began after I originally came out of the closet, because I guess you could say I was just repressed in all things sexual up to that point. There were a lot of things I had not yet admitted to myself, and that all started with just stepping out of the closet around 2008-ish or so, maybe a little bit later than that. But then as I started exploring, you know, I entered what I call sort of a second adolescence, where you just start sowing your seeds and you figure out, oh, this is great, I love this. Just meeting guys and playing around. And then eventually you start to settle down a bit and then you branch out. So things kind of stay interesting for you. So after coming out and moving to the DC area, I started meeting folks. And my first real exposure to any sort of kink was with a BDSM leather family that I met at the Old Eagle one night. And I was just absolutely intrigued. I found one of them on Scruff and they said, yeah, just come on out and, you know, just meet us. And when I got there, I saw them and I was just so very nervous because they are just these slabs of muscle and testosterone, and it's just like,
at this point, are you?
No.
Okay.
I had started losing weight at some point back in 2008, and I'm still trying to figure out how all of that works. And you know, I was no stranger to the gym by that point, but I wasn't anywhere where I am right now.
Right. Yeah,
with some yo-yoing along the way. But yeah, I saw this group of guys there, and I walk up to them and introduce myself. And after getting to know them a little bit, I'm like, yeah, I think I can get into this, this whole this whole leather lifestyle. So I get to know them after some years, you know, we've kind of moved on our own separate ways. We're still friends. But yeah, they introduced me to the whole leather lifestyle with pup play and obedience and bondage. And that was just hitting all the right buttons at that, and then just, I have a lot of really good memories associated with that. And just more than dipping the toe into the pool, so to speak, but rather jumping into the deep end.
Kind of going 0 to 100.
Absolutely. And as I start finding this kink identity of mine, I'm just branching out to more folks and then just trying to learn from them, you know, like, picking up little things here, like, ooh, I like being tied up this way, or ooh, I really enjoy this particular aspect of pup play, and like, maybe butt plugs aren't for me yet, or things like that. I'm still working on that one, but eventually, around 2016, I started my Tumblr. Which is trying to make a comeback. We'll see about that. If they're ever going to pick up their former following.
Nah.
But, you know, my Tumblr is where I started posting my diaper pictures.
Okay, hang on. So far, you're on this natural progression, and I see how all the dots are joining. And then suddenly we're diving into diapers. And I'm always fascinated by how ABDL happens for people. So wait, how old are you at this point that this is all? Because most people that I talk to about ABDL got into it way earlier than like I did. So had these gears turned for you at all before, or was it like just a whole brand new world and then you just kept going and going?
I think the seed was always there. I don't have the story of, you know, going into my little brother's nursery and nicking diapers. Have that story.
Me neither.
But I look back at certain things, I'm like, oh, that makes a whole lot of sense. Like tidy whities, your classic white briefs, you know. I would just put them on and put another one on and another one on until it was just this big layer around me. It felt kind of like a diaper. I'm like, okay, that could be related to it. And then there's like the one scene from Empire Strikes Back after Luke gets knocked off his tauntaun after being attacked by the Wampa, and he's in the Bacta tank and he's floating in there in what looks like a big diaper. And I must have worn out that VHS going back so many times just to see that scene of him floating in a diaper in the Bacta tank. So
I've never even considered, like, I'm even trying to remember the scene and I'm like, wait, did it really? Yeah, I guess. I hadn't even thought about it, though.
Yeah, it's much more poofy than just a pair of briefs.
So was it the diaper itself that really kind of grabbed you, the visual of it and the feel? And
yes, I kind of had a rediscovery around 2015 or so. I came across something on the internet, and it was a very, very private thing at first because, you know, diapers, it's taboo. I can't be thought of, you know, being a diaper wearer. But I saw something online that just sort of rekindled it for me, and I ended up joining diaperboys.com and started that way. I met a guy who put me in my first diaper. I think it was like a Tena diaper. And it was a lot of fun. I'm like, gosh, I got to keep ordering these. And it just kind of grows and grows from there. Not just the diaper, but
and it swells and it sags. Yes.
Which is all part of the appeal. I just start buying different diapers and discovering different aspects of myself. It's like, I don't really want to wear prints. You know, that's not sort of the diaper person that I am. And, you know, a few years later, I'm wearing many more prints. And it's I don't want to wear, you know, onesies and things like that. Now I have a whole drawer full of onesies.
This is just like, all of these, I'm like, yeah. I remember being like, yeah, onesies, that's not for me. Print diapers, no, that's not for me. Oh, sucking on dummies, no, I'm not going to do any of that. And now here I am, like, deep in it.
And all the while, you know, I'm still, you know, going through my gym fitness journey as well, trying to figure out how to do things correctly. And I've always kind of touted, you know, like a diaper bodybuilder type thing, but it hasn't been until these, like, past couple of years where I feel, like, really super confident with presenting myself as a diaper bodybuilder. Before I could, I guess you could just say like the diaper thick gym goer type guy. But now I'm feeling super, super comfortable. And really, I'm leaning into this dichotomy of this big macho bodybuilder who really wears and pees his diapers at the gym.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And it's just, it's been so much fun. And I love sharing that with folks and bringing that to folks' attention.
Yeah, I was going to say, because your Twitter is so alive with, like, every time you post, there's like this glimmer of joy of like, yeah, I'm posting this and everyone gets to see this. And like, you can tell how much like exciting it is for you to do it as well. And that definite visual dichotomy of like big, strong guy, but he pisses his pants, which I think is, there's so many different versions of that, that people like, you know, something that people think is very like, I guess, I don't know, stereotypically masculine or manly or adult. And then something that is so like, I don't know, childish or embarrassing, and like marrying those is really, really fun.
And it really creates this whole humiliating aspect,
yes,
but very endearing in a way, I think.
Yeah, it's cute. It's sweet. Okay, so muscles in general, how did that like come about, and what is it without the diapers? Because explain it to me like I'm stupid, because for me it's like I don't really, the physical attraction thing for me is kind of like not really there, so I'm like, I'm always fascinated in what it was it like something you saw and you were like, yeah, that's it?
Yeah, that I can definitely trace back all the way to childhood. It's like I'm walking around like the JCPenney or the Macy's or something like that, and I see like the racks of men's underwear, and you know, the pictures in the box is like, I want to be like that, but I'm not, because I'm a thick boy, I'm very husky, I've got a little extra for the lovin' here that will never be me, but that interest has always been there. And yeah, I just really enjoy it. The size of it, the striations, the vascularity of it all. Uh-huh. It's just, it's very artistic to me, really. And I just, and as an artist, cause I mentioned that I'm a bard.
Yep.
You know, I want to be the Renaissance man. I want to do a little bit of everything. Uh-huh. So, yeah, and you know, just going through high school, even not knowing that I was gay at that point, it's just like, man, wish I could be like those guys, you know, I see in the magazines and things like that. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but I always have loved muscle.
Is the muscle, like, is the building, is it very much in the kink realm for you, or is it, because when you talk about art, like it really is, you know how to pose, and every single photo is really like, there's clearly a lot of thought behind it as well.
Yes, it is definitely a kink for me, but it's not just a kink for me. But yeah, I'm very, very turned on by muscle worship, worshiping another guy, having others worship me, really just appreciating, you know, the shape of the bicep, burying your nose in a nice pit or something like that, really sort of feeling the wideness of your lat, all of that. It's its own kink, and exhibitionism definitely plays into that kink. I don't think I've ever met a bodybuilder that isn't an exhibitionist.
Yes, right.
You kind of have to be.
To stand in your Speedo and do it. But is it more, would you say that, because I assume also kind of like personal attention and examination is kind of like a big part of that, like worshipping. Is it more that you want that feeling of that being done to you? Like, or is it just both ways? Oh,
it's kind of the deal where you know what you like, so you're going to do your best to emulate that.
Yes. Others. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. I'm really also kind of interested in what this coming out experience was like for you, because you kind of said it hadn't even really clicked? At what point did it kind of click and then this started this like sort of spiral of self-discovery?
I suppose when I started posting things on Tumblr, like because I was getting feedback all of a sudden for what I was doing. And people really just appreciate, oh, you look so cute in your diapers right there. It's like, oh, nice bicep. And it's just like, oh, this feels really good. And all the chemicals start going off in your brain. So yeah, around 2015, 2016, right around when I started my Tumblr before switching over to my Twitter. That's when I started just really leaning into all of that and showing my face and letting folks know that it's okay to be your best kinky self within all of the safe guidelines.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's I think that's the thing that I most enjoy seeing is like, yeah, I'm doing me and you can do it too. Like, it's fine. It's cool. And I feel like we all conform at some point in our lives, especially earlier on. We're all like, okay, well, I want to fit in this box. I want to please this person. I want to be this thing. And that moment where you kind of get to go, oh, actually, being me is pretty cool. And I can decide to be me. And that can be fine. And then the crazier thing to me is when you start to get that, like, people saying, oh, wow, seeing you really helped me, which is such a kind of... I don't know, it just adds a layer of validation. Like, was it that you, that moment happened for you and then it kind of gave you, I don't know, a bit of a boost to push further? Or was there this moment you had earlier where you were kind of like, I've realized this thing about myself and I know who I want to be and I'm going to start breaking that mold?
It probably wasn't like a single aha moment, sort of a eureka, but rather a progression over time. But when I saw people, it was having a positive effect on people just knowing that they can be themselves, because I too am just being myself. That really started making it all worth it to me right there. I still get, I frequently get messages saying, hey, you have given me the confidence to actually go out and actually be myself. But then I have to remind myself, like, that's not actually me. I'm just putting myself out there. It's you that's actually finding the confidence within yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. All I just showed you was that I can be myself and you can be yourself as well.
Yeah. But how awesome is that, that that's all that it takes? I mean, when we see people succeed at just being themselves, then it makes it okay for us. And it's like, yeah, I wish I'd seen more of that. And that had been, I don't know, more accessible, because the people I saw being themselves growing up, I did not want to be like those people, you know, and what they kind of displayed as like the options for life. I was like, oh fuck, that looks so miserable. And as soon as I, you know, found Tumblr, I was like, wait, there's a whole new world.
Right. But that's one of the hardest lessons to learn, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Accepting that, like, what I thought was the worst part of me as well, and being like, oh, actually, that's not going anywhere. And maybe it's okay. Okay. I'm going to pee really, really quickly. So let's take a quick break.
Okay. I'm just going to use my diaper.
Ugh, lucky. he says, with a closet full of Megamaxes, that I don't know. I haven't felt little in ages. Like, I've been busy being a daddy, and I've just been like,
you can be both. You can be the diaper to daddy.
I know.
I've leaned into that as well.
The diaper daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, kiddo. Yeah. Help dad change his pamper, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, kiddo. Dad has to wear his pants. That means no excuses for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of want to put my pamper on.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be the first time I've done it on on air. it's just such a hassle. Okay, I'm gonna pee. I'll be right back.
Adulting is hard. Whether you're working hard to make deadlines, meet expectations, or juggle responsibilities, you're always on the go. And even when you're not, you're still painfully aware of your own existence, crushed beneath existential dread, forever mired in the muck of mediocrity. Why not let go and have some fun with Color Time? Playtime are now hosting a free-to-enter monthly coloring competition to bring together the community with art drawn by ABDL artists, including me. Let your inner child out and join in for the chance to win a $10 gift card with Playtime. Simply download the coloring page at playtime.link/colortime, color it however you want, and send it in before the deadline using the hashtag ColorTimeForPlaytime. We'll pick the top 5 pages and the community votes for the winner on the Playtime Playground. Let yourself regress and see if you can stay in the lines. More information on the Playtime website.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I changed my mind. I felt left out, and I realized that if I didn't do it, I would hear about it on Twitter as soon as the episode comes out.
Yeah.
I also had the window wide open and started fluffing it, and then looked outside and was like, oh... I'm going to shut this.
For those listening, Muckle Stoder is wearing a black Megamax, and I'm sitting here in a blue Megamax.
Because I'm a cool kid.
Yeah. Although my blue one is getting shades of yellow in it.
Okay, this is going to be a pretty whack tape job.
You're just gaining experience points until you level up into that diaper daddy.
Until I unlock... diaper dad level. Okay, I tell you what though, this is actually not that bad. It's more that I'm way better at padding kiddos than I am myself. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I learned to do it on others before doing it on myself.
Oh, yes.
And then, pee-pee time.
There you go. You can do it good for you.
Yeah. It took me a really long time to get used to peeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in general. And then at first, it really helped to actually like have someone cuddle me, which kind of fed into my whole embarrassment and humiliation thing. Like, oh, he needs a cuddle to pee. And then it kind of, yeah, just became more and more and more natural. I used to do this thing where I'd be like, okay, nobody talk. Shh, I'm going to pee. I'd have this like intense pee face.
And it kind of grew from there, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Kind of swelled from there.
And the thing is, they don't necessarily have to be for pure fetish. I mean, they are incredibly practical if you're a regular game player, a video game player.
Yes.
Twitch or something like that.
Seriously.
You don't want to take a break. It's just like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go right here, right now.
Even just going out. Like, I could wait and use the disgusting bathroom that everyone's using, or I could just keep having a conversation with you
and
pee myself.
Yeah. And it's warm, and it feels good, and it's squishy.
It is very
And of course, you know, there's the, they can also be used as scene extenders for BDSM scenes and things like that. So you don't have to untie somebody so they
go
to the restroom. They can just kind of hang up there, and you can just watch that nice white pamp above you kind of just swell and grow and turn kind of yellow up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is a good... The visual of it, like, swelling and getting rounder and slowly getting yellow is...
It just... There's so much about it that carries over to so many other things. Like, if you're an inflation fetishist...
Totally.
Yes, absolutely. And for your clown play, definitely plays into that.
Huge. Huge. Yeah. It was the first thing that I got into from clowns, because I was like... Well, that's humiliating as all hell. Like, that's the kind of thing a clown would wear. That's the kind of thing that, like, if I was made to wear or someone made me wear, like, would be super humiliating and then just spiral.
Mm-hmm. Just shove a big old banana down the back of it. And... the gears are turning now.
Totally. And all the puppies wear them as well, because
it
just makes pup play. Like, the whole idea of being kind of like a dog who can't hold his wee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see, you know... puppies lifting their legs up at the bar and just having a good old piss.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Or like, or when I'm at the gym, oh my gosh, they are so practical. I can just continue with my lifts. You know, I'm working on a really hard set and I've got that one rep.
Wait, so you were telling me about being in the gym and being pampered. Have you ever been at, like, have you ever felt like somebody could tell?
Oh yeah, sure. I'm not shy about it.
Yeah.
I'll just, straight up change into my diaper after my workout. I'll just, people just assume that, oh, he needs them. I'm not like, hey, look at me changing. I'm just putting myself into my diaper. That's all. I usually wear a Megamax or something like that to the gym. I mean, I love things like Crinkles and Peekaboos, but when I'm at the gym, like it's like a proper workout diaper. I mean, and if I'm, you know, going to proselytize the ways of the diaper to other bodybuilders, then, you know, this a Megamax is a good entryway.
Where did the confidence to just change your diaper in the changing room and not even, where does that come from?
There are folks out there who are actually incontinent and actually need their diapers and and would like and they do live normal lives. And you know, they have to take care of themselves out in public and in the locker room. I mean, it's not sort of like a public space where, you know, where you folks don't consent to seeing you. It's kind of accepted that in a locker room, you're going to see other folks naked in there, and you just assume, oh, he wears a diaper. That must be his underwear. He must need them as well. And, you know, while I may not be truly incontinent, they are my underwear. They are my preferred underwear. Yes, I do wear thongs, Speedos, jocks, and other things like this, but it's never that long before I feel a call to be back in my pants. So yeah, I just treat it like they are my underwear because they are.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Because I also imagine that if I were an incontinent person, I would actually appreciate a little bit of that as well. Like, oh, he's being himself and it's not embarrassing and it's fine. Because also it's a locker room. If you don't want to see it, don't look. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's fun though. I was like trying to imagine like that Megamax swelling while you're doing reps and it like being visible through your shorts. But
oh yeah, you know, I wear my singlets and things like that.
Right.
They show under the spandex.
Spandex is great for that.
It sure is. I mean, it's so nice and shiny and round and stretchy.
I like the way it stretches. That for me is the thing, like stretching over anything, stretching over a belly, stretching over a diaper, stretching over, you know, whatever it is. I like things that do that, I think, more than anything. So something like spandex, which is so much easier than bloody rubber or leather to look after. I should have more spandex in my life, I think.
Well, I can always give you links for that.
I think I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go on a spandex spending spree.
Careful, it racks up.
Yeah, I know. It all does, though. I just bought a new clown wig. I just bought a new clown wig for sex. I'm hearing myself speak.
Hang on, I've got the perfect thing. I got this new wig, and then once I get it on, we're just going to go to clown town here.
Hell yeah. Oh, love life. Do you have a little side? Because you came at it from an angle that I think a lot of people who come from it at the more kind of aesthetic feeling angle, that it slowly sort of snowballs, but have you developed that kind of like, I don't know, headspace or escapism in that?
Yes. When I'm at home, usually by myself, and I'm spending some private time with me and my diaper and whatever I do tend to slip in a little bit of a headspace and I start, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of put on my little voice and I just feel so cute, my little diapers. And aww. I definitely have a little side to me. One of my friends liked to, he pronounces my name in a very particular way that just kind of in a teasing way, but it's kind of perfect for my little side.
Yep. I can hear it. Aw, that's adorable, kiddo. Yeah. So I feel like little space. Well, I kind of think it's the same thing. Like it's the same thing that we do. We just dress up differently because to me, like pup space is so similar and like clown space is definitely so similar. And anything that's kind of like, as in therapy today, and I like made a realization that like so much, again, it's that thing of seeing where it was before. So much of my life and just how I do things is I want to be a kid. I just, in the sense of I don't want responsibility, I don't want anyone to bother me, I don't want anyone to talk to me, and I don't want to do any errands or chores. And so I like will just not do any of those things. I'll just do what I want to do or play my video games, whatever. And then adult brain comes on and adult brain does everything all at once so that I can have more kids time.
Yeah.
And I kind of realized that that's where that manifests for
certainly.
Me.
There's a bit of escapism to it.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And that's like all the adults that I saw growing up, I was like, well, your life seems stressful and horrible and miserable. I don't want to be anything like you. I want to just have fun all the time. I don't want to have responsibility. And it just kind of informed so much of how I behave towards stuff. And then when like real life happens, my adult kicks in and my adult's like, yep, fine, we can sort this all out so that I can kind of go back to just do what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, I just wish more people could tap into that for themselves.
Yeah. Honestly, I think like, sometimes I look at people and I'm like, you really are just missing out. Like, you don't get it.
Right.
And that's kind of sad.
Right. And it doesn't have to be ABDL diaper play, you know.
Oh, no way.
You just to turn off and, you know, just allow you to relax and, you know, I mean, not be an adult, so to speak, but you know, just let somebody else take care of it for you, or you just not worrying about.
Yeah.
Worrying about
just bills. Not be. Yeah, just not be anything for a bit. Just, yeah. Like, just switch off. Because as well, like, I know people who are so... I mean, my partner's kind of like this. He's so turned on all the time. He's working, and then he's going to do these errands, and then he's going to meet this person. And I'm like, no. No, like, that is all too exhausting. Once I've, like, if my free time is no longer free, it's not free time anymore. And no one's invading it, you know?
Right.
And I guess today I just kind of realized it was like kid brain.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, personally, I am with my jobs as a musician, I have a lot of responsibilities with the organizations mm-hmm. that I work with. And yeah, it's just constantly go, go, go for me most of the time. But when I come home, it's like, boom, diaper on. Usually my diaper's on throughout the day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go through phases, like, I'll really enjoy it for a while. And then, like I said, I was busy being daddy. And when I feel like daddy, that to me is still, like, playtime. That to me is still kid brain, because it's like I'm playing dress up. I'm being daddy, and I'm giving you the experience of, like, no worries. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to look after you. I'm mm-hmm. going to change your diaper. Do you like to play with that other side of it as well?
To be a daddy, certainly. Yeah. I've got somebody who reached out to me in my area who is kind of now getting used to the idea that they might be into ABDL. And I said, I would love to help you get in. I will treat you safely. I will act with consent. Right. I will make sure that it's just going to be you and me in a perfectly safe space to explore this. And I just want to make sure that it's a completely positive thing from a caretaker perspective.
Hell yeah. That is so awesome. Okay, are they a bit younger as well?
I would say they're in their 30s.
Okay, because yeah. I know someone who is a bit younger than me, and I just felt that way even more, because they're a bit like me, really. They're kind of omni-kink, but I really want to give them like a good experience and like let them explore the things they want to explore, but also just lay down some basic like, yeah, but this is how safe things should be. This is how like, this is how people should treat you. And don't, I just remember being that age and being like, oh, this is all fine. Right. Yeah. And I think it's kind of sad that there is almost like a, not only are we kind of not like not taught these things aren't talked about when mm-hmm. we're younger, but also you kind of have to hope that the person who you trust to show you this stuff is a trustworthy and reliable person. Yeah. And there's also kind of like a lost generation of people who should be around who aren't, because
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Because yeah. Because of the whole AIDS epidemic back during the early 90s. Yeah. That's just a general case throughout the whole gay community. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so sad because when it comes to, like, kink was the thing that really, that I felt really was kind of like my coming out, was my pride. My, like, that's the thing where I was like, oh no, this is part of me. This is part of my identity. This is something I care about. This is a flag I want to wave. Mm-hmm. Because the sexual identity stuff hadn't really sort of like clicked for me, but kink really did, because I knew I was kinky before I knew what sex was. You know, I was kinky since day one. So it's crazy to me that there's so much further to go in terms of like how we can educate people and show them and bring them into this world, because a lot of the time people are playing with things that are, like, let's face it, kind of dangerous. I mean, like breath play.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting how many people have to say, you know, things on Twitter constantly, just like, please guys, don't do breath play alone, blah, 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 blah. Like, because we don't know, and we're ashamed most of the time. And so we, you know, sort of tentatively try these things alone, which is why diapers are great, because that's a really easy one to do alone.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. But yeah, speaking of disclaimers, though, yeah, I still do put disclaimers up from time to time. Hey, guys, this is my diaper, but, you know, this is me acting as an adult, doing things for myself and with other consenting adults from time to time. This does not involve kids. This does not involve animals. We are safely doing this.
Yeah.
This is a completely consensual activity.
Wow.
That's something that I feel like I constantly need to say because of the taboo that can be attached to ABDL. But just once again, to kink in general.
Yeah. No, completely. It's like, oh, anything that is remotely unheard of or anything that someone can lump into the category of fetish or, you know, sex freakism or, you know, some other completely like ill-informed language where it's just like that assumption shouldn't be the case. That like we should have a little bit more awareness of how these things work. And also like the number of people. It was actually Diaper Dynamo did a video where he went through airport security and he asked the guy like how many times, you know, do you pat people down and they're wearing diapers, and he was like, all the time. And he was like, well, there you have it. Like, everyone who is so afraid to go through airport security because they're padded, the number of people, regardless of what reason they're wearing, that there are, that we just don't really, we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way more common than you think. It's way more normal than we should treat it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now we just got to do the same for clowns.
Go through airport security and like TSA agent, hey, how many clowns do you pat down through here? All the time. All the time.
You don't even know. We pull it down and there's just a honker there. Actually, you say that. I like my last trip to Berlin, I go through everything. Everything's totally fine. And it's as I arrive, I'm like exiting the airport. And I just make eye contact with the like border control guy and they give me a random search. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, here we go. I've been mentally preparing myself for this. So first he starts pulling out I have multiple passports. He starts pulling out my passports and immediately they're kind of like, what are you, a spy? What's going on here? So they start fishing through my bag. And first they pull out my clown nose and they're like, okay. And I'm like, there's another one. They're like, oh, okay. And then there's like my clown gloves, and then there's my clown wig, and then there's my pup hood, and then there's my diapers, and then there's my dummy. And it just kept going. And there was like a rookie kind of guy, and the older guy just looked at him and, sort of turns to him and is like, yeah, we know what this is about. Okay, cool. You're heading to Folsom. I know I'm not the weirdest thing they've seen by a mile.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They've seen it all and then some. So
they're probably doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're probably all diapered.
Yeah.
Assume everyone's diapered from now on.
They have long hours.
Yeah, right. I've got a friend who he is like a trucker, and so being padded just lets him, he can just drive, no brakes.
Oh yeah.
That seems like a dream job for a lot of kiddos.
like this, yeah, back in July, I drove out to SummerCap from DC to Chicago. That's about a 10-hour drive.
Whoa, and, you drove?
Yeah.
Damn.
No pants.
No pants at all? No pants.
Just pants and a shirt.
That's baller. Yeah. That's pretty metal.
I did have to stop to for gas, but I mean, there were no bathroom breaks, which was really nice.
And you just filled up in your pamp?
Yep, sure did. Kind of just did the whole get your butt out of the seat just so you can get the back of that diaper.
Yeah. Get your diaper yoga in.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because diapers are expensive. Make use of that real estate.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I feel so bad every time I use them. It's expensive. It's bad for the environment. And I always feel like a bit of an imposter because I came into it so late.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like, my pee technique, come leaps and bounds. Come leaps and bounds. But I used to leak immediately because I would just go all at the front.
Yep. I'm still a flutter. It's hard for me to control.
Yes. Same. Right. That like little drip action. How do you do it? What is that? Kegels? How do you do that? Mm. I'm just like, it's a garden hose and it wants to be a garden hose.
Let it be a garden hose. I know I'm a garden hose at heart.
Well, I started doing that thing where I put the stuffers over the like leak guards to kind of act as like double guards. And that seems to be working for me. So if I can sort of get that foolproof.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to a costume party and I'm really considering being padded. I so lost my train of thought because now all I can think about is Pampers and how good they feel.
Mm-hmm.
I've turned into such a diaper boy and that was just so not me. It used to be like, I swear it used to be a turn off.
Really?
Oh yeah. I was like, nope, not my thing. That's like actively like, ugh, no. And I just got sucked down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of us have this thing where it's like you can... The right person can just sort of worm their way into your brain and bring you into their kink. Mm-hmm. I've actually got a friend who is really into doing that. Like he likes to do things, get people to places where they end up doing something that they don't like and associating it with something they like, which I kind of love. Fuck.
I mean, yeah, there are some folks that have sort of the it factor. You don't know what it is, but they have it, and they use it to bring you.
Yes, that's how I got into spanking. I never, ever thought I'd ever want to be like, nope. I'm a total, like, pain pussy. And now he fucking beats me up every time I see him. And I love it. And then he put a shock collar on me. And I was like, no, I can't do this. He's like, okay, you don't have to. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Now I want to. Okay, so I guess I kind of wanted to segue into, I guess this was just my sort of brain ticking from this guy. this thing resurfaced on Twitter, someone's like dumb bad take where they basically were like they posted this thing and it was like them and their body and like great whatever, but then they were really bitter that they weren't getting the attention that they wanted from posting the picture. You know, like their insecurity kind of clearly took over and they were like, if I had a dad bod, you guys would have gone crazy for this. That's all people want these days. Blah, blah, blah. Twitter just doesn't appreciate muscular bodies anymore. And it just, you know, just this sort of like eye roll, yawn, like what? And it just got me thinking about how like body image and pressure is so maximized online, and it's kind of crazy how it doesn't matter what you look like, it will negatively impact you if you even begin down that like mental journey. And I don't know, I guess I wanted to ask what kind of your experience was with posting yourself and how you kind of measure that and balance it.
Well, I don't necessarily post for the likes, but, you know, having a few likes does feel good. I post to help build my confidence in myself. And it's just me stepping out of my box and practicing this confidence and showing the world who I am. It You know, it doesn't have to be with tons of muscles. It doesn't have to be a dad bod. It doesn't have to be a chub if you're into that. It doesn't have to be a twink if you're into that. It's just practice your confidence and, you know, be proud of who you are. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes daily practice to constantly just be proud of who you are. And it's just kind of like that, like that Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. You know, just remember that there's no other you than you, right?
Totally.
And practice being you, just like anything else. Yeah, it takes constant practice.
Yeah. Yeah, practicing confidence. I think the best advice I ever got was that, like, the only way to get confident is to be confident. You have to practice just doing it, right? And then slowly you become okay with yourself, and then that kind of happens. But I got that advice at a time in my life where I was training as a dancer, and like I look back on how I looked then, and I'm like, I had no idea what I looked like. Mm-hmm. I was so wrapped up in just being insecure and wanting to be something for someone else. And letting that go was like night and day, that switch in my brain where it's like, oh, actually, I can just enjoy feeling good and being myself. And if I want that to feel a certain way or be a certain thing, then that's great. And likes are always great. Like, I mean, that is literal, you know, chemical, you know, that is dopamine in the brain. Like that's fine. It's not shallow to like, to say you enjoy, but yeah, I saw that thing and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, that's so sad. And like, yeah, especially for someone who sees it as I've got to do this thing to impress people. And it's like, do you know what? You would probably actually have exactly the effect you want if you were just doing it for you and doing it for yourself and putting that kind of positivity out there, which you phrased so much better than my brain can wrap around. It's late here.
It's practice, just like the conference.
I have to practice talking. Just like words and like things and stuff. Okay. Well, it's sort of getting to about that time. So I always have like just a yay moment at the end. I always give every guest gets homework, which is just come up with something positive to end on. What's today's yay?
Today's yay is my spandex order came in. Yay! I got a singlet. I got these fun joggers and this tank top and a couple of thongs, so I'm super happy about that.
Hell yeah. Okay, I want to ask if you have, like, stripy singlets.
I do have stripy singlets.
You do? Like circus style?
Like old strongman circus style, yeah, I do. I wore one yesterday to the gym.
You did? No you way. Did.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check those out. Yeah. Do you know what? Actually, that and like a nice handlebar mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a look I can really get behind.
Yeah. I know a guy down in Virginia Beach who was really into that.
What the
handlebar mustache with the large triangular weights. And the
Hell yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Is it mustard art?
That's him.
Yes. Yeah. Which is funny, because I hadn't even seen any of his stuff online, but my little is like in a group chat or something, like a Discord group with him. And so he was in the UK and they met and he was like, oh, look, blah, 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 like went for coffee with my friend, showed me a picture of them. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I went on Twitter and I found this guy who's doing like circus stuff in a way I'd never really seen before, and it took me a while to realize they were the same person. he does that well. Okay, so my yay is just gonna be Halloween. I should have done my yay should have been Halloween last week already, but Halloween is the best time of year. It's my favorite time of year. It always has been. And it's the one day of the year where you can wear whatever the fuck kind of kinky gear you want and no one can say shit. Mm-hmm. So Halloween is just my absolute favorite. And I was considering going padded to this Halloween party because a costume party is a great opportunity to rock that out surreptitiously or not. But I feel like I'm getting there. Like one day I'll be brave enough to do it. But this time I went with the old rubber and pup, which, yeah.
Practice that confidence.
Okay, well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Oh, where can people find you online, by the way?
So on Twitter, you can find me at MuscleBard.
Awesome. And as always on Twitter, I am at TStota. And what am I on Instagram? The_Muckle_Stota. I see you like casually. Are you always casually flexing?
No, I'm just this big.
You're just that much of an absolute this is tank. Flexing. Jesus Christ. Your bicep is like the size of my head.
I can't even fit on the screen.
Oh, this. Such a big baby. Can't even fit on the screen. Oh, he's sucking his thumb, little guy. I can practically smell that pamper from here. All right. Thanks for listening. Keep practicing that confidence. Wait, how did you say it? You said it better than me. My words left me again. I got baby brain.
Just practice a little bit of confidence every day. Doesn't have to be in diapers. Doesn't have to be in kink gear. Just practice being you and being proud of yourself for being you.
Practice that every day and every week. Tune back in to the Big Top.